Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us as far along as we have made it thus far. Sometimes it seems it's dragging, but Father, I just praise you for leading me to look into the Dr. David O'Rourke prophecies from many, many years ago. This one, going back to 2017, because it's very, very exciting, and I'm super excited to be able to share it with everybody. Because I think, you know, your people, Father God, and this has been expressed through your servants to Prophecy 3:7, that so many people are getting discouraged, and they see the trickery that is going on, the two-faced, projections of information that are diametrically opposed to one another. And it's intended that to be that way. And it has, unfortunately, deceived an awful lot of people. I don't think we could even begin to guess how many. And we know that Satan does not want your people to be awakened too early, because they could form huge prayer groups and make his life a living. Well, you know, and it already is. So, Father, we just praise you for this opportunity to get together. We thank you for allowing us to use this electronic ecclesia to touch other people's lives, to get them ready for the days that we are in, not only now, but the days that it looks like they're approaching incredibly fast. And it's getting more and more exciting by the day. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, in accordance with Matthew 18:19. As you promised us, Jesus, where two or more are gathered together here on this earth, in your name, whatever we ask for in your name, it shall be given us by our Father. Of course, providing that we are praying within his will, and that we are not praying, as it says in the book of James, amiss. We praise you, Father, for that promise, and we would like to use that promise, hold that promise up to you, and beseech you, Father, out of the mercy. As David said in Psalm 51, out of the multitude of your kindness and tender mercies, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, in accordance with what you commanded of us, Lord Jesus, to pray always to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and stand before you, the Son of Man, at the wedding supper of the Lamb. We thank you for showing us that the parable in Matthew 22 is about the wedding supper of the Lamb. We thank you for showing us about the two women at the very end of Revelation 12 is about the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why they're taken away to a place where they are fed for times, times, and half a time. Where? At the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is so awesome to be able to look at Luke 12, 35, 36, 37, where it talks about the second and the third watch, and realize that we're to have our lamps burning, our waist girded. We know that you're coming back from the wedding supper of the Lamb. All of these parables, almost every single one of them, even the parable about the Pharisee, the parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector, how you had pointed out, Lord, that it was that everyone should be like the tax collector. That we are to seek our own salvation in fear and trembling. We should understand these things and embrace them. And also, we may be mentioning it last, but it is certainly not least, the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and how so many of them arrived very, very late at the end of the day, but received the same reward as those who had arrived early. that gives us much encouragement, Lord Jesus, because there are a lot of us that are just waking up right now. So let every one of us be anointed with a desire to help them understand that it's not too late. Help them understand what it means to be full of your presence, to worship you every day, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91:1. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, if there is anything that we discussed tonight that you have changed your mind upon. We know that you relent sometimes. We know that you call audible sometimes. We don't understand these dynamics, but we can see them in play. And we pray in the name of Jesus, let those items roll off into a deep blue sea of your forgiveness and forgetfulness, not to lodge in anybody's heart that it would cause them strife or a challenge in their, you know, in their perspective of things. And Father, we just pray that you will allow those things which are most important to lodge deep into their heart and motivate them and get them excited about the most exciting time the, well, I would submit, the universe has ever seen, at least in this particular generation, which is in alignment with Genesis 2:4, which says, "And these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when the Lord God Yahweh Elohim created the heavens and the earth." Generations. Wow. Ecclesiastes 1:9. Powerful. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for blessing and anointing this show and anointing every single listener, everyone who lifts me up by name, lifts Dawn up by name because she's still healing. I pray for a tenfold blessing upon them, Father God, that you will just touch their every part of their lives. Surround them with divine protection. We plead your blood upon each of their lives, upon and divine protection, the holy fire of God to surround their homes and their cars wherever they drive. And Father, we pray for everyone of the rest of us to just count us worthy. Don't let us slip up. We know we're not worthy. We Isaiah said, "I am undone." Well, we know that we are the tax collectors. We thank you for revealing it to us, and let us all be humbly seeking you with all of our heart, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and hoping beyond hope, because this is the greatest hope that we could any of us could ever have in our entire lives. We want to be everything that we can be for you, and we praise your holy name forever and ever. Amen. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so, you know, it was nice having, I think, for those of us who are living in the United States of Babylon the Great, it's always nice to have, you know, the Memorial Day weekend time to be able to kick back and relax a little bit. I did. A few of the plans that I had fell through. There's always bumps in the road, isn't there? And there's more bumps today now than I think ever before, at least in my opinion. And then for those that are clueless and are not really paying attention, they're just kind of cruising right along. And we got to do everything we can to try to awaken them, because they may be listening to their favorite shows, and that's fine. They really, you know, sometimes some of these favorite shows that people have that they just embrace and they love the people, they've been listening to them for a decade or more in some cases, but a lot of times they're maybe just not touching upon the things that are the most important. They, you know, and that would lead them to being distracted. That would lead them to being fascinated by all that really strange esoteric stuff about, you know, prior ages and things like that. But the thing about it is then you're not drawing in through praise and worship. You're not as close to the Lord. You know, you're not anointed in the way that he wants you to be anointed for the days that we're in right now, because Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without a blemish. And that's how we are counted worthy. For 1 John 3:7 says, "He who practices righteousness is righteous just as Jesus is righteous." That's a capital H-E. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And on that note, let's go ahead and plow right through a ton of stuff. All right. And I'm going to start this program out, even before I do the news stinger, with something I think you all need to hear. You probably, maybe you heard it 14 years ago, 12 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't know. Most of the time, I would usually play just a short version. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes. This is the long version. This is easily about 9 minutes in length, but this is a very important 9 minutes. Okay, so let's listen to this right now. This is the prophet, Dr. David O'Rourke, going back to 2017. Now, when I listened to this today, I got so excited, I just about lost it. I mean, it's nothing for me to be sitting in front of my laptop at work and then burst into tears and start crying, because it's that exciting. So let me go ahead and share this to you, because it has details that I have not heard for a very long time. Let's listen together in Jesus' name. Here it is.
What is going to happen to the earth? Now, I see a military aircraft, these very sophisticated strike aircraft, like the F-35s. Yes, I see with bombs, even the front part, the many bombs that are under the aircraft, because the Lord made the aircraft fly above me like this and is headed in that direction. So it's very, very sophisticated. The F-35s, I see a tremendous war that is coming, and I have a feeling that the Iran nuclear war that I've been prophesying since the year 2005 is about to take place again. Since September 27, 2005, from Mbeya, Tanzania, when the Lord spoke to me at Mbeya, Tanzania, about this tremendous war, the nuclear war that is going to take place, the Iran nuclear war, when there will be 2 missiles that strike the nuclear facility that is at the foot of a mountain in the desert. And since then, I think that's Natanz Nuclear Center, something like that. But anyway, in Iran. Now again, this past night, when I was sitting down on a seat, reading the Bible, and then, that time, the Lord steals me away. And he shows me these strike aircrafts, the F-35, the top one, the stealth fighters, the ones that can evade radar, is flying. And as it was taking off, the Lord makes the plane take off over me like this, so I can see under the aircraft. There's so many bombs it's loaded with. So the earth is sitting right now at the brink of a major war. I'm announcing here that I have seen a major war come to the earth. It's going to be a serious war to resolve this nuclear controversy, nuclear crisis that has been protracted over many years, about Iran versus the rest. And you remember in that dream of September 27th, the year 2005, the two missiles, I think fired by aircraft or something, I don't know whether it looks like fired. Now I'm beginning to understand they are fired by an aircraft, most likely not Tomahawk missiles from a cruise ship, from an aircraft carrier. It looks like they send out strike aircrafts, and two, because I see their copper, the copper tails of those bombs, two of them. The copper tails are spinning anti-clockwise. And then they strike this nuclear facility in Iran. And the fire that explodes from there goes as far as the east can go and as far as the west is. And small flames that go almost up into heavens, you know, up very high into the sky. And the reason I knew it's nuclear is because I see the small little flames within the big, big historic fire the earth has never seen before. And so we are sitting on the verge of a very major, major conflict. And yesterday, the Lord now shows me these stealth fighters. Only the U.S. and Israel have this type of aircraft. And it flies above me, and I see it headed that way. So there is going to be a serious situation come to the Earth. The Earth is sitting on the verge of a major meltdown, a major, major war. And remember, in that war, Israel must always win. So, I've seen the strike aircraft leave with bombs in that direction. So, Earth is sitting again on a major landmark that scores a very important point towards the glorious coming of the Messiah. We are all aware that nobody knows the day or the hour. And so, I have always been very hesitant to locate that war on the prophetic timeline of the Lord. Because if I say it, that war is going to take place and then the Messiah comes, then the whole earth will essentially wait for that war before it takes place in order to prepare. And I would be better off saying that war takes place soonest. I would be very better off saying that the coming of the Messiah comes before that war. That war takes place soonest, and the Messiah comes before that war. So that people are anyhow ready, no matter the position of that war. Instead of saying, wait for that war, when it takes place, then you know the Lord comes. Because nobody knows the day or the hour when the Messiah comes. So even now, I repeat the same proclamation of the Lord, that I cannot position that war before the nations of the earth. Because I cannot tell them that, look, that war will take place when the Messiah comes. No. I want everyone and everybody to be ready for the glorious coming of the Messiah, regardless of that war, regardless of the position of that war. Why do I say so? Because John the 15th, that tremendous conversation the Lord privileged me with in that visitation when he took me and stood me by the gate of heaven, the gate to heaven, 20 to 30 meters away, and I saw how glorious ship of Christ, they were raptured, the beautiful holy church, the mature bride, the perfect bride, the church that has prepared, has endured all the harassment, the blackmail, malice, and slander of earth, and has sustained righteousness in all their doings in their hearts, and everything, and avoided all manner of sin and iniquity. I saw them enter just about 2 weeks or so, 2 to 3 weeks now, it's coming to 3 weeks ago. This is fresh from the Lord. About 3 weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago, this is really very hot and fresh from the Lord. Fresh from the throne of God. When he took me and he stood me about 20, 30 meters from the door of heaven, and I saw how they were entering, and the glorious steps appeared as they were stepping. They walked one step like this and the second step, and they were inside the glory of heaven. And they, after that, the door was shut. The cloud came and covered them in. So, even as I talk about this war, I would like the nations of the earth to know that we are sitting on the verge of a major visitation, the coming of the Messiah. The Lord has taken me now to the door. Now the Lord has taken me to the door. I am standing at the door. I am announcing the coming of the Messiah now from the door to heaven. This is where I'm standing now. However, I have also seen the military aircraft leave, and there's going to be a strike. There's going to be an assault, a military assault, you know. The strike aircraft leave. These look like the stealth bombers, the strike aircraft, the F-35s, those precision aircraft that evade the radar, the state-of-the-art aircraft that can go and do some serious work. I have seen these things, and I announce them in your hearing, that when you hear these things, you may never harden your hearts. You may now prepare your hearts for the glorious coming of Messiah. What a beautiful time to live in, to have the announcement of the coming of the Messiah reach your ears while your feet are still walking on this earth, on the soil of this earth, to live, to hear, and to be able to make substantive, real and done, you have a win-win. You lived on the earth, you were born again on the earth, and then you enter heaven into eternity. So this is a beautiful day. These are wonderful tidings of the coming of the Lord. This is great news that is reaching the four corners of the earth at this hour.
All righty then. Okay. So that pretty much, you know, you notice there that Dr. David O'Rourke had, you know, he was hesitant in the sense that he was, you know, his dialogue kind of swirled around the idea of he felt reticent about even coming out and saying that our departure would be, you know, closely linked to the nuking of Iran and the attack by the F-35s, because he didn't want to give somebody a landmark, because it takes time. Okay, we have to learn to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We have to learn to worship and fall in love with Jesus. In the book How to Heal the Sick by Charles and Francis Hunter, they said in their book that they realized that when they both made up their mind that they wanted to follow after Jesus as a husband and wife team, they had started laying hands on people to command them to be healed in Jesus' name, and they hadn't seen. Now, they actually said this in the book. Now, is it an exact number? I don't think so. But they had said they believed that they had laid hands on 10,000 people and had not seen one divine healing. They also felt between the two of them that they weren't in love with the Lord the way that they needed to be. You know, the number one commandment is for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. You know, to be so head over heels in love with God that you miss Him. You know, if you have a day that where you don't have time, or you're not able to get up early enough and spend that extra time with Him on your knees, you know, we need that now. We need to spend that time in praise, in worship, submersing ourselves. Get yourself, you know, Laura Hubick is great. Also Grace Williams, very soaking praise. Get some of that and spend time with your, you know, just completely immersed in the presence of the Lord. That's what He wants. That's what He's looking for right now. And I don't feel like I do it enough. So if I feel like I'm not doing it enough, there's probably a pretty good bet that you guys might not be as well. So, you know, we need to inspect ourselves constantly. It's a continuous thing. And really, really put extra effort into being ready and immersed in the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. We do not want to miss. I assure you from the very bottom of my heart, this is not something that we want to miss. Okay, you don't want to go into the day of the Lord. You don't want to be a part of the final harvest. There's too much horror that's going to take place, too much death. It is going to be very, very bad. This is a wonderful opportunity for each of us. And being given this foreknowledge, even to the point of Dr. O'Rourke, what he had said, knowing about this is just, nothing can be possibly more exciting. And he gave that word all the way back in 2017. So that's 2018, 2019, 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24. My goodness, that's 6 years ago, and we're benefiting by it even now. Praise God. Also, there was a report, and I have to kind of squint my eyes a little bit. This goes back, all the way back to 24 of August of 2022. So this is a few years ago. And it says, report, Israeli F-35s penetrated Iranian airspace repeatedly during war drills. London-based Saudi news outlet says drones and mid-air refueling aircraft took part in exercises, managed to avoid Russian and Iranian sensors. The Israeli F-35 stealth fighters penetrated the Iranian airspace on multiple occasions last 2 months, a Saudi-run news outlet reported Wednesday, as Israel stepped up its rhetoric against the nascent agreement to revive the 2015 nuclear deal between Tehran and world powers. Now, we know how that's going, because every time they say that they're going to try to set up another nuclear deal, the United States of Babylon the Great, and of course Israel, you know, they raise the bar. They say, we want a methodical disassembly of all of your centrifuges of the entire program. We want the IAEA, you know, to go in there and inspect every little thing that you do. And then, of course, they say, no way. We're not going to completely disassemble our entire program. You're not getting any of our centrifuges. That, you know, that's the red line. And so it always bumps up against that red line. That's the same red line that was established for Russia over Ukraine, because Russia's not going to take the thousands and thousands and thousands of men that they lost in this, military police event, whatever you want to call it, the flushing out of you know, the cleaning out of the Nazis. They lost a lot of people. And there's a lot of their people, Russian speaking people, that would be terribly, terribly persecuted by the Azov Battalion, the Banderites, and such in Ukraine, which was ultimately what led to this event. Okay, so anybody out there that's saying that Russia started this, they have no idea what they're talking about. This was started by the fact that the Azov Battalion was lobbing shells continuously every single day over into the Donbass area, which includes Zaporizhia, Lugansk, the Donbass, and little kids were getting blown to bits. It was just an absolutely horrible, horrible thing to be aware of. And once you were awake and aware to it, you know how it is. It gets worse and worse because you see it over and over again. Sort of like those of us who are awake and aware to the things that are happening over. We don't want anybody to be dying. When we know that Jesus could come upon a person and save their souls, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Most people, most good Christians, they mean well, but they just don't understand the dynamics of who's who in the zoo, who's going where, what is it, that people honestly believe that the Third Solomon's Temple is the place that the, real Antichrist, and it will be eventually. Okay, so eventually it will be the place that the real Antichrist, is revealed. All right, we've had Carl Gallups, Pastor Carl Gallups, come on the program, and he felt powerfully that the Lord had revealed to him, which is true, that all of the statements in the New Testament in regard to the temple were always in regard to the temple body. I will raise this body up in 3 days. Of course, the Pharisees were thinking that he's talking about the actual physical temple, but he's talking about the temple body. And then it goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, anyone who destroys this temple, or destroys your body, which temple ye are. Okay, so it's trying to let you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to turn our bodies over to Jesus, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, as our spiritual service of worship to him. It is a all-in thing. Okay, nobody's going to be perfect, but the one thing you definitely don't want to have, and I say this time and time again, is you don't want to have, unforgiveness in your heart. Put anybody, just reflect across your entire life and think of somebody that maybe that you still resent, okay, maybe that you're still angry with. Put them at the top of your prayer list. Get that out. Say, Father, take it away from me. Take all unforgiveness out of my heart. Pray for them. Imagine them being on fire for the rest of all of eternity. You don't want that. You don't want that. Even if they did horrible things to your family, beseech our Lord, our Father God, and say, please, Father, according to the multitude of your tender mercies and loving kindness, please, in Jesus' name, save their souls. If you pray those kinds of prayers and you make them at the top of your prayer list every time that you are on your knees, you will fall in love with them. I can list on less than two hands, counting fingers, the people that have, done bad things to me and stuff and caused me great grief, and I have always put them at the top of my list, and I prayed for them first thing, and sure enough, I love them. I even sent a fruit basket to one of them, and the person responded back to me, was this from you? Totally confused. Couldn't even understand why I would do that. And I'm like, I was surprised that was a response, because wasn't Jesus' command for us to love one another? That's how the world would know you, because of the way that you show love for one another. So anyway, it's a little befuddling for a lot of people because they feel that they understand the Bible really, really well. But a lot of times, there's great disparity. A lot of times, there are a lot of people that think that until that Solomon's Temple, that third Solomon's Temple, Ezekiel 34, is built, until the red heifers are killed, until the assignment of the Antichrist rises up on that temple, they don't think that the rapture can occur until then. And I got news for you, Pastor Carl Gallups, myself, and a whole line of other people. I could sit here and mention all of them if I could think of them all right away. Don't believe that. It's talking about the temple body. When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, it says, let the reader beware. It's not talking about a temple building. Jesus didn't talk about a temple building. He's talking about, let the reader beware. He is letting us know that whatever you think it is going to be, it's not going to be that. Okay, it's going to be the body of a human. That's when Lucifer, Satan, incarnates into the body of the actual Antichrist. Now, you know, at what time will we see that? At what time will it be painfully obvious? Will we all get together and say, whoa, there he is right there. Oh my gosh. You know, is it, does everybody see, don't a lot of people believe that he's going to have to stand on the Temple Mount in the new Solomon's Temple, you know, and make some sort of a global proclamation before all this? I don't think so. I'm with Pastor Carl Gollops. I'm with a whole bunch of other people and anointed you know, visionaries and prophets over the years, over 14 years of time, at different times, and they've all, cross-pollinated one another. They agreed with one another. They said the same exact things. It wasn't like we all got together and colluded and said, you know what, we gotta tell everybody, let the reader beware, actually means this or actually means that. So it's okay. What we need to be is focused on Jesus, make him our first love, tell him, just like it says in the book How to Heal the Sick by Charles and Francis Hunter, they said, they woke up together, held hands and said, we love you, Jesus, we love you, Jesus, we love you, Jesus, we love you, Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Love you, Father. We love you. Father God, we love you. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you more than anything in the whole wide world. And he said in their book that they did it over and over and over again. And sure enough, over time, because there's life and death in the power of the tongue, because of the power, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And that power that is in our tongue, it will actually create those spiritual dynamics and anointings to come upon you, and you will forgive the those who you haven't forgiven yet. You will fall in love with our Father. You will look forward to dwelling in the secret place in the Most High. You will become someone who practices righteousness, because he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. Praise God. Okay, and then he who sins willfully and habitually is of the devil. That's what it says next. Now, it doesn't say the willfully and habitually part, and the reason why it doesn't is because you have to get yourself a copy of Kenneth Woist, W-U-E-S-T, Expanded New Testament. That man dreamt in Greek. Okay, he dreamt in Greek. He is real Greek. Okay, so when he would read it, he said, no. You know, these paragraphs aren't arranged exactly the way they ought to be arranged. You know, the chapter and verse and everything, it isn't exactly right. And he created what was called the Expanded New Testament. I think it's like 10 bucks. It's really cheap. Get yourself a copy. You'll be surprised. It doesn't say, ask and you shall receive, knock and it will be given unto you. That is not what the scripture says. It says, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on reverently, keep on asking, keep on reverently knocking. That's what it says. Keep on, keep on, keep on, which then matches it up. Perfect harmony with Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow who kept on bugging the bad judge. And sooner, and this is a bad judge. This is the bad judge. And he was like, you know what? I can't take it anymore. She keeps on whining. She just won't leave me alone. And so he went ahead and bumped her up to the front of the line so he could take care of her problems. Praise God. And Jesus goes on to tell us, even in that scripture, that's how we are to be. There was one really, really wonderful man of God who had written in one of his books, I don't remember who it was, but he said something like, a lot of us, if we had just prayed a little bit longer, we would have received our blessings. I have seen multiple times in my life where I came really, really close to thinking, well, this must not be God's will. So I started to ponder the idea of no longer asking for it. That was a terrible mistake on my part. That would have been absolutely in disobedience to Luke 18. And, I decided, no, you know what? I'm not. I'm going to be the persistent widow. I will not stop. Some of the things that I have asked for from the Lord literally took years to receive them. Praise God. And on that note, let's go ahead and jump into the main news. We got an awful lot to cover tonight. Looking at the time, and I see it's running out real quick. But I wanted to get that Dr. David O'Rourke 2017 F-35, the details associated with that, so that you could understand that as best as he could tell from the impression that he was given from the Lord at the time that he received that vision and he saw those jets, that right after that, better have your rapture jammies clean. And could it be that the actual nuclear, you know, what's interesting is the aliens always show up when there's a nuclear event. During the Bikini Island nuclear tests, every time there was a nuclear test, what did you see? aliens. What about all the nuclear ICBM? I have a book. It's like 4 inches thick. It's all about nukes and aliens. All the encounters. Can you imagine that? And then maybe the very first, you know, noteworthy nuke that actually happens is that. You know, maybe that event with the F-35s is the event that draws in David Doetry's giant spherical mothership. Okay, and we've covered that on so many shows. Praise God, thank you, Jesus. So on that note, let's go ahead, break into the news, and hit whatever we possibly can to try to keep this down to an hour. I did not do anything over the long weekend because, quite honestly, it was boring as heck. If I would have repeated the news that I had Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I would have had to do a show right away immediately afterwards, because that's when the exciting stuff started to bubble up. So anyway, praise Jesus. Let's go ahead and move forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong. What?
It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
Alrighty then, praise God. So I'm just going to hit as many of these that I can. Some of them are important. Some of them are not as important. Hold on just a second. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, glory to God. I heard that dreaded sound coming in from my work computer because I jumped, it was 4:30. There's nothing else I had to do. And things are going to get really hot starting tomorrow. So busy, busy boy, this guy. So I'll do the best that I can to keep on taking my methylene blue, which gives me a lot of energy. It rejuvenates mitochondria. It improves greatly the ability of your red blood cells to transfer oxygen to your cells all throughout your body. I am not doing a advertisement here, but everybody's catching on to it. I tried it, and I'm blown away. It really helps my focus. It's the best nootropic I've ever run across. So, and it tastes like heck. Okay. But anyway, and it's not inexpensive either, but anyway, if you're one of those people that, wants something that's like focus factor, that really gets you zeroed in on all the little details, you want to be able to remember all of them and everything. Boy, what a change it made in me anyway. So praise God for that. I thank Jesus for that because I needed it. I needed that extra push because we're getting to a time right now where things are starting to move fast. Now, I have had conversations with one person in particular. His name is Jamil over in Europe. And he had said, but everything starts to move fast for 3 days and then it gets really, 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 really slow. And then really fast for about 3 days and then it gets really, 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 really slow. And then, and he's right. He's absolutely right. That's why I got so excited to find the Dr. David O'Rourke 2017 dialogue that what would you call it? Testimony of the vision that he saw about the F-35s, because it aligns with the actual headlines. Okay, so we know these things are going on. We also know that that all the way back to let's see if I can find it real quick, and it looks like I'm not going to be able to unless it's right on the other side of this one. Scrolling. Yeah, Times of Israel going all the way back to 2012, Times of Israel states only the nuclear option can work against Iran, former IDF chief says. All right. So anyway, so they've been talking about this all the way back to 2012. Well, we're in the midst of it right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And we want to be ready as ready can be. We do not want to miss. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So on that note, let's go into the rest of the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Okay. It's not normal.
Hold on a second. I played that already. That's how I feel sometimes. Too much stuff going on around me. Kids, are you okay with all this craziness? You are? Kids, what do you think about the Prophet Dr. David O'Rourke's testimony about Iran? What do you think about that? Ah. Gives you some pretty heavy-duty confirmations, doesn't it? All right, let's blast into the rest of the news.
Ladies and gentlemen,
All righty then. Glory to God. Yep. I'm getting pinged like crazy. I'm telling you, my workplace is insane. You know, when you consider all of the people, all, you know, 20% of the workforce at Deloitte, 20% of the workforce at EY. I mean, I'm rounding numbers up. KPMG, Accenture, all of them, they're laying off like crazy. My company's like hiring practically all of them, it seems like. At least that's how it feels. So, where would you rather be? Yeah, exactly. This isn't, you don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, right? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Especially with all these reports coming from incredibly talented financial people. They did some monkeying, in regard to that one financial specialist that I played on the last show where he had said, he got all excited and he was like, get your money in Bitcoin now, and all that kind of stuff. They had done some monkeying around with the Japanese treasury bonds and the percentage rates on those. So they're manipulating the market in order to stretch time out. All right, so no big surprises there. We're used to them, doing all that sleight of hand, speaking with a forked tongue kind of a thing. So anyway, we'll just go ahead and keep watching what's unfolding. We don't know how fast or how slow it might be, but isn't it great just to have one? It used to be that all we had to watch for was David Doherty's gigantic spherical copper colored Death Star showing up in the sky and being broadcast on all the TVs worldwide, because that was followed by Pastor Sorey Park meeting with Jesus. Actually, he met with Jesus before David Doherty, I think, got that vision, and Jesus told him, that NASA will come on TV and tell the whole world that the missing people were taken by the aliens. So anyway, things are about to get pretty interesting, I think, for sure. Just keep your eyes on the Middle East. Don't let yourself get confused by our fellow brothers and sisters who believe the things that they believe. They may or may not happen. Maybe Carl Gallops was wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a whole bunch of people are wrong. We're going to have to wait and see how this all plays out. I happily have my crows right here. That's right. I'm looking right at you. Don't try to get out of the cage. Oh, for crying out loud. They don't know how hungry I get sometimes for crows. Hey! Put your head back in those rungs. I think they want to get away. I should be here with my knife going shick, 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 like they do. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So I want to go ahead and review this for you real quick. This is a prophecy from that was published on Z3 News way back when. I'm showing 2015 for this date. So that's about 5 + 4. That's about 9 years ago from December the 21st. The title of it is An Event Will Occur. This is a prophecy. An event will occur that will begin World War III and there is no stopping it. Well, so again, I'll read this. The Spirit of God comes to me and says, write what I say. An event will occur that will begin World War III without debate, and there is going to be no stopping it. All the planning and scheming that it has led to this. Many people will lose their lives. It is important that you rest in the shadow of the Almighty, your refuge and your strength. I come to you to hearken to you, to listen to what I have to say. The underpinnings of this attack come not from afar, but from your own shores. Be not deceived. False flag is what God is saying here. Trust this good word. I desire my children to live in light just as I am light, to see the darkness that covers the earth. Yet there are pockets of light that shine through the darkness. The abyss has not conquered us all. It is my children of light who shall be victorious. Let no more false flags confound you. In other words, expect them to happen. They say, look here, while over there is great tragedy that's really taking place. I will point you to the truth. Now remember, I did a calculation, just so you know this. Let's assume, rounding up or down or whatever, that there's approximately 8 billion people on the earth. Let's pretend, just for the fun of it, okay, that there is 100,000 people in the earth that are Christians and they are as awakened as we are. If those numbers were accurate, okay, let me tell you how the math breaks out. Okay, the math breaks out, and hold on a second real quick. Hopefully I can find this for you. Praise you, Jesus. And I'm getting pummeled by all kinds of reminders. I'm trying to ignore them as best as I can. But anyway, the numbers indicate, I'm just going to go ahead and recalculate the numbers. Okay, so let's go ahead and type this in here. What is... what percent of 8 billion is 100,000? All right. And we'll just wait. Ticky, 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 ticky. Here it goes. Here it goes. Here it goes. And the answer is 0.00125%. So if 100,000 people are as awake and aware as we are, okay, and they're seeking the Lord with all their heart, they're in love with Jesus from the bottom of their heart, our Heavenly Father, they dwell in secret place of the Most High, they're constantly examining themselves and beseeching our Father to forgive them and count them worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before Jesus at the wedding supper. If there's 100,000 of us that are awake and aware and are watching for these things and understand what the Bible tells us, the way that we need to prepare ourselves, and we're doing that, we're all in the midst of doing that, that would only be 0.00125% of the entire global population. That's pretty heartbreaking. But it is a mathematical tidbit that I think really helps us to be able to open up our eyes and see how blessed we truly are, even though some of the stuff that's ahead of us looks like it's going to be pretty, you know, rough to deal with. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So we got the Dr. David O'Rourke nuclear event with the F-35s played. That's pretty exciting. And also, I wanted to review this real quick. This is that woman that calls herself, everybody calls her the spirit cooker. She's one of those really saint, super occultist type people. She joined Hillary Clinton, the 12-foot tall Draco reptilian with the horns and the wings and all that kind of stuff, doing the frazzle drip deal with the video that was on Podesta's laptop, and the police dropping over like flies, are just a terrible, terrible thing. I won't repeat exactly what they did because it's just too sickening, and some things you just don't want to hear. All right, right, kids? You don't want to go over that again, do you? I mean, for crying out loud. Ugh. But anyway, so this is that occultist, Marina Abramovic, talking about Donald Trump. Let's take one more listen to this just to kind of anchor ourselves with what we're dealing with and why people are so confused. All right, here we go.
Trump is the best thing happened ever to us. Huh? That he is the magician of the highest order. That he is there in his irrational mind to create confusion in order that the human being can find new order. You know, it's not so stupid thinking about this in that way. It's completely turning things upside down.
Trump is the best thing that ever happened to them, the saintiness, because he was there to create confusion. And what do we have right now? We have...
Hey, human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria! Okay, and that's about the truth of it. All right, praise God, thank you, Jesus. So I just wanted to recollect that to all of our, into the forefront of our thinking, because it is very important to understand that we're dealing with a very, 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 very high-ranking Scottish Rite. And it turns out, if you do a study on the occult and the Scottish Rite, and when they get up into their upper levels, as Trump is, at that magician level, they are, they're literally intertwined in their way of thinking with the Kabbalists, okay, which is a big part of the Babylonian Talmud and the SOS that we've been talking about, you know, the Khazarian thing and all that kind of stuff. I don't like to talk about it openly anymore because, I told you many, many times, I don't want to get grabbed by the evil police and, have really bad things done to me. I don't think you do either. So praise God. Let's just keep it on the down low. Hopefully you do know. You can always write me at jbaptist777@gmail.com, and I can always tell you a little bit about something that you might not understand. I'm happy to answer the questions. If you do say mean and snarky things to me, then I probably won't answer. I used to, and then the Lord told me, you're not allowed to answer. Just like Jesus when he was in front of the Sanhedrin. He did not answer any of their questions until the one said, "We assure you, are you the Son of God?" And all he said was, "You have said so." So anyway, so on that note, the Lord has told me to shut my pie hole. In other words, when somebody's challenging me, I just let them go. You know, it's okay. They can challenge me. They don't have to believe all this stuff. It's okay. If we all believed exactly the same thing, then gosh, we should be concerned about that. Okay, there's an old witticism that says, when you find yourself going in the same direction as everybody else, it's time to stop and reflect. All right, praise God. Let's also take a quick visit on some additional information regarding the Star of David. Okay, so hold on a second. Did this overwrite? Hold on. There might be another email here that has some more. No, it did. It overwrote that. Okay, so Saturn, Saturn has a fascinating role in both mythology and astrology. Saturn in mythology is the Roman mythology. Saturn was the god of time, wealth, agriculture, and liberation. You're going to love this. He was associated with the, quote, Golden Age. How many people out there have heard people out there saying, this is the Golden Age. Donald Trump is taking us to the Golden Age. Oh my gosh, the Golden Age. That's associated with the worship of Saturn or Satan, the Golden Age. All right. You happy to hear that now? All right. Right. So the worship of Satan is associated with the Golden Age, a mythical period of peace and abundance, a mythical period when humans lived without labor. And the Romans identified with Saturn, Satan, and the Greek Titan Cronus, who famously devoured the children to prevent them from overthrowing them, until Zeus, Satan, Jupiter in Roman mythology, escaped and later defeated him. Saturn was celebrated during Saturnalia, the festival of feasting and giving and role reversals. This is Satanism. Well, please do grab your Google web browser and go ahead and type in it, H-E-X Saturn. H-E-X Saturn. What you're going to see is a close-up of the planet Saturn. At the northern hemisphere of the planet Saturn is what's known as a hexagram. A hexagram fits the opposing triangles that make up the what they call the Star of David, which there is no such thing. It really tracks back. I have right here in my hands a book that you can find if you go to a used bookstore, and it's called The Six-Pointed Star by O.J. Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M. This is a Jewish man who wrote this book. And he studied it, wrote the entire book about the history of it, followed it all the way back, and came to the conclusion rather rapidly that it was actually the Star of Molech, which interestingly, when you go to the Bohemian Grove and you see that big owl and they have the cremation for care, you know, event where they sacrifice children and burn them to death, on Molech, the owl, that whole thing, and all the hidden owls that are on the back of the United States $1 bill and all this other creepy weirdness, bada bing. It's all intertangled. It's all, it's all harmoniously woven together into a satanic tapestry that is a part of our life. Now imagine that hexagram, that Star of David shape, is on the top of Saturn, which is known as, the planet of Satan. Okay. And it's like they worship that. Okay. Wow. So that really kind of pulls everything together with the Babylonian Talmud and all the other evil stuff that's going on around the world and the mass confusion, like Abramovic had pointed out, and how pleased she was about all of the confusion that is taking place right now. People are upside down and sideways. They don't know which way to go. Sleight of hand over here. Look over here. Here's three executive orders that ought to make you cheer. Yay! No tax for waiters and waitresses. Woohoo! Never mind that, this whole play that's going on over in, the land that we don't want to talk about openly. Okay, I disagree with, Netanyahu and Trump. They don't agree with each other. He doesn't want, they want to go in and rescue Gaza and feed everybody and help everybody and all this other stuff. Folks, we are watching a play. It's just a scene in a play, all right? And it's unfolding exactly as Abramovic mentioned. Don't forget that Walter Veit had brought up Alice Bailey in her book From Lucis Trust, who said that in 2025, it was going to be the year that they were going to reveal the darkness. It was going to stand up in front of everybody, and they're going to be like, wow, there's the darkness that the Bible's referred to. Okay, so it's not going to be, some slippery thing that they just try to slip past us. It's going to be a big deal. You've got the movie They Live. At the elite banquet at the very end of that, they talk about 2025. You got the Deagle Report. This is going to be a mass calling of the human race. That's supposed to be for 2025. You got Tom Horn with his book, Zeitgeist 2025. I mean, it just never seems to end. Everything is 2025, 2025, 2025. I don't know. Is God going to call an audible? Is this going to drag on even longer? How long is this going to go? We don't know. We just don't know. And for those who say that, oh, you know, nothing bad can happen to Israel, well, I think they're missing Luke 21, 20, because it says very clearly in Luke 21, 20, and here I'll see if I can bring this up for you real quick. I'm watching my time. Oh, no, this is going to turn into another 2-hour show. Oh, Jesus, please give me more strength to be able to handle all of this. It's so much. Oh, thank you, Lord. All right. So anyway, I'll drop this down. Bibles. We go to Luke 21, 20. Ah, went to the wrong one. Praise you, Jesus. The destruction of Jerusalem from the New King James. It aligns with Matthew 24, 15 through 28 and Mark 13, 14 through 23. The destruction of Jerusalem, it says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that its desolation is near. Boy, that doesn't sound like, oh, we're going to go out and plant really pretty flowers and tulips for next winter and sing kumbaya and light fires and hug and kiss on everybody and say we're sorry to all those who we sodomized during the war and starved to death. Think, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so again, it says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her get out, depart. Let those who are in the country enter her. Now, it probably needs it. Oh, let not those who are in the country enter her. Okay, so it goes in and says, for these are the days of vengeance. Remember when Jesus read the Isaiah scroll? He stopped right before that, right before the days of vengeance. Stopped right before it. All things that are written will be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. And they will fall to the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Well, when is the time of the Gentiles going to be fulfilled? Is it going to be last? You know, there's a first watch, second watch, and third watch, with the third watch being the grape harvest in Revelation 14. If that be true, then the final harvest would, the fullness of the Gentiles would be brought in when the grape harvest is rescued. They're the ones who have the seal of God on their forehead and don't get stung by the locust. I feel sorry for them. They're going to have to be living out in the forest and depending on God to feed them. Praise Jesus. I don't want to be here for that. If I stub my toe, I cry for like 3 weeks. Mommy! That's just the way I've always been. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So those who just think it's going to be all smooth sailing and stuff up until that time, that they're not noticing the fig tree generation. They're not noticing what happens after you realize, as a viewer of the fig tree blossoming around you, that, hey, look what's going on. You know, Jesus is obviously coming because all these events that are happening around the world are exactly what he said was going to happen just before he comes. And Luke 21 is one of the Olivet Discourse, and it's the one that goes into great detail about what happens just before he arrives. It doesn't say anything about the building of the third Solomon's Temple, Ezekiel 34, which is why I believe when they build it, it will be during the Great Tribulation. During the Great Tribulation, after the United States is nuked by Russian submarine-launched nuclear missiles, which, of course, were seen by Dimitri Dudeman, A.A. Allen in 1954, and Henry Groover in the late 80s. Praise God, when he was on the Prophecy Club. You know, the sky rolls up like a scroll. Well, when does the sky roll up like a scroll? When nuclear bombs go off. I mean, my goodness. And then you've got the sun turns black at sackcloth of hair. There's your 3 days of darkness. And 40 days after that is the final harvest. Sarah Manet saw during the final harvest, she saw lights of refuge, but she saw them mostly over in the Denver area, way up high in the mountains. She said she saw a few of them in the Appalachian mountain range, but she saw the vast majority of these lights of refuge were located over in the Denver Denver area. Why? Because the giant mega tsunami that results as and because of the meteor that strikes right off the coast of Puerto Rico, okay, that's going to wash up over the east coast of the United States, Babylon the Great, and it's going to kill 22 million people. Are all of those people bad people? No. It says in our Bible, it says Psalm 115:16, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And Isaiah 57:1, Jesus says, our Heavenly Father, but it's Jesus there, you know, John 10:30, I and the Father are one. The righteous perishes and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. And then, of course, you have Isaiah 26:9b, where it says, when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And then what a blessing it is that God throws in at the end of, which is an export out of Joel 2, okay, which is another alien invasion. Isaiah 13 is an alien invasion. Joel 2 is an alien invasion. That has nothing to do with the bride. She's already up in heaven. These things are, you know, if she made the barley harvest. But the point is, you don't want to be here for that stuff. Okay, it's going to be a double mega tsunami. Millions and millions of people are going to die, but it doesn't mean that they're all unrighteous. It just means they didn't get the opportunity to be all that they could be. And I don't know about you, but I want to. I've screwed up my life. I am uniquely qualified to speak to you. I'm uniquely qualified to tell you that Jesus gave a full denarius to even the latecomers during the parable of the vineyard and the workers in the vineyard. It's not too late for you. Get on your knees now. Think of everything that you've ever done and try, mention it, confess of it, because when you speak it forth to Jesus, that's part of the deal. 1 John 1:9, when we confess of our sins, he is, you know, righteous when we confess of our sins, our Heavenly Father is just and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so this is really, really important. I probably butchered it because I'm doing it from memory, but the point I'm trying to make is, he does. He washes us totally clean. Okay, and we can go back at it. We can go back at it and hit it. You know, it doesn't matter. You're going to dork up. As David said in Psalm 51, my sin is always before me, and sin my mother conceived me. Wash me with your hyssop. Make me wetter than snow. If it was before David all of the time, it's before us all of the time. I had somebody on Twitter. He was like, well, obviously the Bible's wrong, because that would mean that all the, you know, Old Testament patriarchs are in hell, because they, you know, you can only come to the Father but by me, Jesus. But he didn't know about the Apocrypha, the 14 books of the Apocrypha that were inside of the 1611 King James. That was a lot. And in there, it covered a lot of stuff. So, and don't get me going. That was limbo, by the way. That's why Jesus had to go down after he, you know, descended from the cross. He had to go down and rescue all of them. When he showed up, he was able to take all of the Old Testament patriarchs up to heaven. But of course, they left that out of our Bible. So we're sitting here poking each other in the eye like, you know, Larry Curly and more. Whoop, 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 toink, you know, that kind of stuff. All right. So anyway, on that note, I see that I've already broke over the 1 hour mark, so I'm going to go ahead and break into the second hour. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go.